Welcome to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast for December 9th, 2011. I'm Beth Belo, founder of The Introvert Entrepreneur. Through my business, I offer coaching, training, and presentations that inspire introverts to understand, own, and honor their natural strengths. I also help extroverts understand the introverts in their lives, as well as to tap into their own inner introvert. I have an app on my phone that provides me with a daily quote, and one that stood out to me this week was from Jeanette Winterson. She said, "What you risk reveals what you value." What you risk reveals what you value. As someone who has spent a lot of time reflecting on my values, as well as creating space for my clients to clarify their values, this particular quote took the idea of living my values to an entirely different level. It begs the question, am I so confident in my values that I'm willing to risk for them? Am I ready to stick my neck out when it comes to living authentically, compassionately, from a place of love? Being clear on my values brings me a certain sense of safety, of being grounded and centered in something. Reading this quote, it occurs to me that I can use some of that safety as a place from which risk becomes possible and even required in order to fully live into my values. I'm still thinking about it, and I'm guessing that I've been playing it pretty safe in many aspects of my life. What this quote has done is it's invited me to go deeper into thinking about how I live with conviction and passion, and where I might be living just to make do or to get by. So I invite you to create time for yourself to sit with the quote and see where, as Donna Markova puts it, you can afford to risk your own significance. For some of us, putting ourselves in a situation where we have to reveal our dreams, our fears, and triumphs to our peers is taking a huge risk, even if we value the learning that might result. It's incredibly important to feel safe if we're going to share what we usually keep inside, especially regarding our entrepreneurial aspirations. My guest in today's podcast is going to introduce us to a tool, that of the mastermind process, that provides a powerful way to create that safety so that you can make meaningful connections with others while strengthening your business. For the past 29 years, Sherry Ruskus has called Boulder, Colorado, home. It is in this beautiful part of the country where she has deeply laid her roots as an impassioned entrepreneur. Sherry's key career focus has revolved around assisting entrepreneurs shoot past the barriers placed in front of them. While she has done this in a variety of businesses over the years, for the past 5 years, she has been doing this in an organization that she founded, the Victory Circles, which is run through her company of 10 years, Business Victories. Hi, Sherry. Welcome to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm excited to be interviewing you today.
Well, I am delighted to be here, Beth, and thank you so much for the invitation.
Well, the thing that I am really drawn to about your work is the mastermind process. And I know that's part of your mission and vision to bring this to more people. And so can we start out just by laying the groundwork of what is the mastermind process? And why do you think it's particularly useful for the introvert entrepreneur?
Well, I definitely think that it's useful for the introvert entrepreneur because it's not having to do it alone. I guess it's the biggest thing that I'll say right out of the bat with the mastermind process. It's surrounding yourself with support. And entrepreneurs in general, we tend to, you know, go straight after something and think we have to do it all on our own. And it's usually what gets us into big trouble along the way. So with the mastermind and getting yourself in a mastermind group, you're surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals that, you know, share your vision, that share your passions, that that they want to see you succeed. And the whole idea of the mastermind group goes back to the, I mean, you could use a lot of different examples over history, but as we know it today, back in the 1920s, Napoleon Hill first brought them to light with the likes of Andrew Carnegie and Harvey Firestone, and some of those really successful individuals of that time who they were, even though they were very successful in their own right, they had a few economic downfalls in the 1920s, as we all know as well. So they really banded together to, even though they were multimillionaires, Henry Ford was part of it. to create this mastermind of like-minded, again, individuals to pull themselves forward.
That would be like probably the most high power mastermind group in history, it sounds like.
Wouldn't it be awesome to have been a fly on the wall?
I know. Which
Napoleon Hill really was. And, you know, he got a lot of his information from Think and Grow Rich and his laws of success from that and shared it with the world, which was pretty amazing.
So when were you first introduced to this concept of a mastermind process?
You know, I had read about it in Think and Grow Rich. In my 20s, I was by a mentor given the book Think and Grow Rich, which was awesome. I didn't totally get it, but I just, you know, and he talks about in Think and Grow Rich the mastermind process. And so that's when it first came into my world. But it really didn't hit home for me hard, like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing as a coach, until about... And I want to say about probably eight or nine years ago, when I was really looking for another way to bring people together in a group coaching dynamic. And I, you know, was burnt out on leads groups. I didn't want to do the whole networking scene. And how could I bring together individuals? And I actually got the CD, The Principles of Self-Mastery, which I highly recommend. And it was one of those moments in time that's just crystal clear in my brain. I can even remember exactly where I was when I did it, that I am listening to it. And I, you know, pulled the car over, listening to it in my car, pulled the car over, and I'm like, this is it. This is exactly what I'm looking for, because it went through just some of the mastermind principles and ideals, because it's about mindset to the mastermind process. And so with that, it was really like I was on fire about it.
Don't you love those moments when it's just, yeah, it's like the NPR calls them like the driveway moments, when you just can't get out of your car. You're so fixated on something.
Exactly, right.
I'm thinking about you.
Right on. I wish I'd have been in my driveway.
Yeah. Well, at least you had the good sense to pull over before you got too excited about something. But it's just those moments are of crystal clarity are such a gift when they happen. And so I'm, you know, before I want to hear more about the mastermind process and what you've experienced with it and what you've seen happen through it. But I also know that there are mastermind principles that it sounds like are sort of serve as the foundation for the process. So what are those and how are they useful?
They are critical. And one of the things that happened for us here at the Victory Circles when I first started them in 2006 is that we had a couple of meetings, had 10 other like-minded individuals, entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs that came together, and it was all well and good and cool. And, you know, we left the meeting feeling like, wow, that was something. But we really, for me, I said, we need more. I need to dig in deeper. And really, we need to start looking at these principles, because the important part of the mastermind principles, I feel, is they're kind of the soft goods or the software for it all. Because if you're not utilizing these principles, and I'd like to just take a few minutes here and go through them with you, because there was 12 of them that I pulled out of Napoleon Hill's Laws of Success. So after about, like I said, those first couple of mastermind meetings, I sat down with the Law of Success and I went through it piece by piece. And in it, Napoleon Hill lays out he had 17 mastermind principles. I felt that 12 would be perfect for us in the Victory Circles. It would allow us to take one mastermind principle each months of the year. And, you know, it goes to part of the whole mastermind concept is the idea of mastery, that, you know, we've all done it where we've gone to a workshop, gotten some great information, but then we don't implement it on a regular basis and it goes away, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And then it's gone. So that was our idea, is that if we take 12 of them, then we can every month of this, you know, year after year, really fully study them and get them as part of who we are. And so There was actually, I take it back, there was 11 that I took of Napoleon's, one that I added of our own, and that was the habit of honoring time, because time as entrepreneurs, especially women entrepreneurs, is just, it's our lifeblood. And when we're pulled in many, many directions, it's really important. So, but to start off right from the beginning, the very first mastermind principle that needs to be looked at is the principle of defining your definite chief aim. And it's really getting that focus of who you are, where you're going, where you're headed. Because if you don't know, how can you go into a room with other individuals and share it with them? And absolutely, there's times that we go into the room and you've had a bad day or week or month. And it's one of the things I love about a mastermind as opposed to a networking event or anything like that, because you're honest. You know, if you've had a bad month, you say, this has been a bad month, instead of just all smiles and everything's great, when maybe it's not. But it's really being clear of what that definite chief aim is. And some of the examples we use is, if you look over history and time of really successful entrepreneurs, they've been just very clear about where they're going. Now, they may have shifted their pattern here and there. One of the examples I've used along the way is Madame Curie, who, you know, she loved science, and that her definite chief aim was to find cures for certain diseases. So that's what she went after. Coco Chanel loved fashion. So that was her definite chief aim, was to bring fashion into the world. So it's really looking at, you know, that heart passion and what is your definite chief aim moving forward. So in January, we normally look at that and really focus on that mastermind principle. The next one, and for an introvert entrepreneur, you're going to relate to this because it's self-confidence. For me growing up, I was incredibly shy going through high school, et cetera. And, you know, if anybody would have ever told me, I would have A, owned my own business, B, been a salesperson, et cetera, et cetera. I would have laughed like, you've got to be kidding. You've got the wrong person. But it was over the years of really building my self-confidence that changed that stream for me in many ways. And you know, even the most self-confident person gets knocked off their podium from time to time when life's events happen, or, you know, you're doing something new you've never done before. It's scary. It's all that. So, you know, really looking at self-confidence and how important it is in moving forward. So that's in February, we go through that and, you know, everything from the sales piece of it to, you know, the fears of what is really, really holding you back.
So as you're talking each month, are you, you're focusing on each of these principles, and are you looking at your business kind of through the filter of that principle at that time?
Absolutely. That's a great way to look at it. Yes. Yes. And in a lot of the things that we do, and even when we meet together as a mastermind, that's kind of a, it's the theme, if you will. The next one is the mastermind principle of self-control and saving money. And Napoleon Hill really talked in great depth on this one. And, you know, and the truth of the matter is, if you even look today of companies that are doing well and companies that aren't doing so well, there's a variety of reasons. But one thing holds true is that those that had a reserve of money to sustain them, it made all the difference in the world. And so it's that, and as entrepreneurs, many times over, many, many more times than not, I guess I'll say, is that we usually, more like saving money, that would be a luxury. How would I even do that? You know, because every penny goes into my business, but it's putting that a little bit of aside that makes all the difference. So in April, we talk about that and really get into the nuts and bolts and many aspects of money. And saving money is part of it, but it's that whole mindset around money, which, you know, of course, without it, we would not be in business. And you know, how it makes the world go round for us, actually. And then from there, we go into the mastermind principle of leadership in May. And Beth, you know, it's really amazing to me how many entrepreneurs as I've worked with them over the years, and especially, you know, working on this concept, that go, well, I'm not a leader. I just own my business. And the fact of the matter is, it's huge, the leadership role we play as entrepreneurs, because we are stepping out above the norm, and our business is making a difference in somebody else's life in one way or another. It could be our customers, it could be our vendors, family, friends, whatever, but our business is making a difference for someone. And the stronger we get in our leadership skills and acknowledge that and work with that, the stronger our business becomes. And we actually do this great exercise where you imagine yourself at a table with your favorite leaders and, you know, have a mastermind with your favorite leaders, whether they're living, dead, fictional, non-fictional, however, but just really those people that have made a difference in your life. Because the truth of it is, the strengths of all those leaders, real or non, living or dead, they've made a difference. And, you know, one of my big entrepreneurial heroes was Steve Jobs. And he is now, you know, definitely at my leadership table, because his passing was just so huge. And I think that it's a great importance to all of us to keep those ideals alive. So leadership is really a critical role that we play. And again, if you imagine yourself in a mastermind group, those that have strong leadership and those don't, then you start to get a little unbalanced. So it's really important to have that piece. Then the next one is one that I think, well, and for me, I know I did at first. I'm like, really? That seems like that's one of my favorite things to do. Well, how could it be a principle? But it's the mastermind principle of imagination. And it's really utilizing your imagination to its fullest degree. And as entrepreneurs, we're in business because our imagination came to life and said, hey, I could do this business. Unfortunately, we get caught up in the day-to-day practices of our business, and for those of us who really enjoy creating a lot, we feel like, oh, I'm not keeping my nose to the grindstone because I'm off here playing in my imagination. But it's critical. It's absolutely critical. And some of our best ideas, our best momentum comes together when we really fully utilize that mastermind principle of imagination. And in June, we do that, which is really kind of fun. We've done all kinds of fun things in the month of June under the imagination, from going in the park and, you know, playing to
get on the swing set, maybe, or slide down the slide.
And then the next one that we do in July is the mastermind principle of having a unique and pleasing personality. And I'd love your feedback even on this from the introvert perspective, but, you know, who we are is what reflects in our business, and it becomes more and more now with the internet and Facebook and all these things happening that, you know, that piece of your unique personality needs to come out, and so we really focus on that in the month of July.
Oh, that's awesome. I like that. Yeah, because being able to step fully into your personality and claim it, and my big thing is, you know, right, don't try to be something you're not. And so if you're trying to make your personality something that is, you know, larger or more gregarious or whatever than it naturally is, then it's not sustainable. You'll sort of burn yourself out. And that doesn't mean that we don't stretch and that we don't, you know, show up with our best foot forward. And certainly introverts, when they have if they've taken care of themselves and owned their energy, they can be as gregarious as anyone. It's simply recognizing the balance that you need of when am I showing up and stepping into my unique personality and being a certain way, and how do I support that with what I need in terms of being alone for a while or being in quiet or recharging by myself. So honoring that personality, those personality needs, is really important to being able to honor that particular principle.
Absolutely. And just like I said with Steve Jobs, like, I love Steve Jobs. Am I ever going to be a Steve Jobs? Nope, it's not going to happen. But I can take those things that I loved about him and let them absorb into my personality, or share his thoughts or ideas through my personality.
Right. You're not trying to be him, but you are looking at what do you admire and what's the... I think I had a coach who talked about a homeopathic dose. You know, what's the little dose of something that that person has that you admire, or even something that makes you uncomfortable, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can we learn from that, and how does it apply to something that we feel like we need a dose of in our personalities or in our presence?
Well, and letting that piece of our personality let other people fully see it, because I think that's the one thing that we tend to hold back. And, you know, people are going to think I'm, you know, whatever. I mean, I definitely, there's some crazy parts to my personality. But what I found is the more I let them out and the more I let them shine, the more that people are attracted to me, because I'm being authentic, I'm being real. And things come out of my mouth sometimes that I'm like, really? Did I just say that? And my children, you know, especially their teenagers, were like, did you just say that, Mom? But it is, you know, as Papa used to say, I am who I am.
That's all that I am. Well, what you're bringing up is reminding me to a point you made very early on about it seems like there are closer relationships and connections that are made in a mastermind process, and that you can be really honest with each other. So it's not like the lead generation or the networking group or the other things that we feel like we've got to put on a face, that we can come to a mastermind process if we have formed a group that is truly effective and truly a good match for one another, that we can be honest and we can be ourselves. And that gives us, I think, confidence to be ourselves outside of that process.
Well, you know, and I'll share a quick story with you on that we had a member who was struggling in her business. And she knew she was going to lose it. I mean, she was just at the point. It was a retail business. It was a bad location. There was a lot of factors that, you know, the writing was pretty clear on the wall. And she had emailed me and said, I won't be at the meeting. And I said, well, because, you know, my business is failing. I'm like, you need us now more than ever. You must be at the meeting, you know. And she agreed. Of course, I couldn't make her come to the meeting, but she agreed, and she knew that she really needed it. And as she was sitting there in the meeting, the tears started to flow. We always say, you know, you haven't been fully initiated into the victory circles until you've cried at least once, you know, to really to let your full inner self show. And she, the tears were coming, and she's like, you know, I just feel like such a failure, and was talking about all this. And as she was talking, she was telling us about how she'd been making this jewelry while she'd been, you know, sitting in the store with no customers. And I asked her, I said, is the piece you have on, she had this gorgeous necklace on. I said, is that piece you have on something you made? And she said, yeah, I just made it this morning to go with this outfit I have on. And I'm like, you are kidding me. And so now the transformation has happened for her because she was willing to be open and honest that she is now launching this incredible jewelry business and has gotten past this, you know, quote unquote perceived failure and is moving on to something that is really more near and dear to her heart. So again, it's that honesty and getting out there.
And she would not have gotten that had she not opened herself up to other people who could see things that she was maybe too close to see herself.
Totally. And we are too close to ourselves. It's just, you know, and we get that the monkey mind syndrome going on, telling us, oh, who do you think you are, kind of thing. And somebody else to say you are somebody special. You know, we need it. Every single one of us on the planet need it.
So any other, we've sort of intervened there in the principles, but any other ones that you have found that are particularly powerful that we haven't talked about yet?
Yeah, let me, and I'll go through them here really quick, and we can wrap that piece of it up. But the next one is accurate thinking. One thing that we don't usually give ourselves enough time to do as an entrepreneur is thinking, and we actually take an entire month to focus on thinking, and it's really pretty powerful when you look at that. We take another month to look at concentration, because there's thinking, and then there's actually concentrating on, it could be a task, it could be whatever, you know, with all the diversions that we have on even just, you know, like my computer sitting here right in front of me, and I can't even tell you how many screens I've opened. I'm trying not to look at it right now, but, you know, so it's just really concentrating on one particular thing to get it accomplished. The next one is cooperation, and that's really a huge one in that we do that in October, that of looking at everything from JV partnerships, joint venture partnerships, to the team that you work with. And many times I know with entrepreneurs, I'll say, well, you know, one of the exercises we do is to do an organizational chart. And more than not, they'll say organizational chart. I could take about 2 seconds. It's me. So, but it, you don't have to have employees to have an organizational chart. And it's that whole thing, again, of not doing it alone. And, you know, having people who can be contractors or vendors of different sorts out there assisting you, because we can't do it all alone. It's just impossible. And even, and especially I think with technology today, why it gives us so many absolute fantastic tools, it also, you know, kills a lot of brain cells in the process when we try to do all of that ourselves. Which brings us to what we're focusing on this in this month of November, which is the Mastermind Principle of Profiting from Failures. And as we were just talking about, of, you know, looking at your failures as stepping stones to the next, to the next, to the next, you know. There is not any successful entrepreneurs out there that have not had failures in their path. It's impossible, unless there's somebody I don't know about, and I'd love to know about it if there is. And then, and we wrap up the year with the Mastermind Principle. Napoleon Hill called it the golden rule of human conduct. We have rephrased it to the Mastermind Principle of Fully Giving. And it's really looking at that whole idea of giving more than you necessarily receive. One of the things that's different in a mastermind group than, again, typical leads groups, networking groups, that kind of thing, and even in networking, I mean, we've all been there where there's people just that walk into these rooms, and that's why, I avoid networking groups like the plague, because these people out, you know, you walk into a room and everybody's holding their hands out, gimme, 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 gimme. Well, when we first started our mastermind group, we had some people come and go very quickly because they came in looking for quote-unquote leads. And we're like, no, that's not what we're about. You come in and you give. It's not about getting. You're going to get. There's no doubt about it, because it's just part of that whole law of attraction in action principle, I think, that you just, you, it comes back to you. But so it's really focusing in on that and embracing it fully. And then, you know, finally, like I said, the principle that I brought to the table of honoring time and really looking at our time and how we best utilize it, because it's in such short supply. And, you know, everything from time management to just, you know, again, not doing it all yourself and planning. We're huge in the Victory Circles on the whole idea of planning, business planning on a lot of different levels.
Nice. Wow, what a, that's also exciting. It's like, I want to join one. Well, it sounds so, again, you know, not to, I'm sure it's perfect for a lot of different personalities and business types and whatnot, but I think particularly for the introvert entrepreneur, it's appealing for lots of the reasons we just talked about, that it's, that you get to know people, that it's a little more intimate, that you get to sort of bare your soul a little bit and be honest with each other. And and that it's not about get, but, you know, reciprocal giving and getting, and over time that's built out of trust and mutual support of each other. Just sounds very powerful. So what are, so the principles are obviously an extremely important element of a successful mastermind process. What else, what are some of the other ingredients that make for a successful process?
I think it's coming to the meetings fully prepared for what it is you want to be. I know I just said about giving, but you know, if you are in need of something from the group, to be really clear about that. What doesn't work so well is coming in shooting from the hip. You know, just do whatever. I'll just talk about whatever goes on, because you miss out on a really key business tool to help you with your business. You know, if you're looking at, you know, you're not going in asking for business, you're asking for ways to assist you in your business. And there's a pretty big difference. So if you're, you know, your marketing isn't just quite gelling right, there might be a discussion around that. Again, the way that we work with our mastermind, we actually have tools that we have our members come in. We have, you know, there's two different kinds of masterminds that we put on. We have a monthly mastermind, which is 2 hours, and we actually have the curriculum homework that we have people come in if they so choose, but there may be a burning issue that they look past that and say, I've really got to talk about this during my time with you guys today. We also do a quarterly mastermind intensive where people come in with their plan for their business for the quarter ahead and really share that with the group. And again, it's preparation, just sitting there shooting from the hip. What ends up happening is it ticks off your fellow masterminders, like, really? This is as prepared as you are for this meeting. So I would say that's really the most important thing, really showing up for the meetings. You know, as with anything, that you get what you get out of it, what you put into it. And so if you say, oh, you know, I'm going to blow off this month's meeting or this quarter's meeting, I'm just, you know, I'm so busy, I can't go. It should be there in stone, because what starts to happen, and we've seen it happen with members over time, is that, oh, you know, she's not going to show up anyway, so whatever. So that's really important. And then the other element is meeting with the members of your mastermind outside of the circle or the group meeting, because there's no time in the meetings to really get to know them. And, you know, it goes back to that whole know, like, and trust piece of it. The more you get to know somebody, of course, the more you're going to open up, the more you're going to like them, and the more you're going to trust them. And so that's really, really key as well.
So what if I want to pull together a group on my own? Like, obviously, you know, there are structures, you know, facilitators and coaches like yourself that right, host these groups. And I was actually part of a small mastermind for a little while, because I know that they can be sort of pulled together as a grassroots effort, I guess, of entrepreneurs who, you know, say, hey, let's, you know, I find a connection with you, I find some synergy, let's do something. So if that were the case, like if I didn't have that ability to go to a facilitator or something, where would I start, and how would I know who to involve and how we could support each other?
I would go back to when I started my very first Victory Circle. And, you know, really at that point in time, I had no grandiose idea about training other facilitators and doing all the things that we do today. It was really about just, I wanted a mastermind group. And so what I did is that I just sat down really in my contact list, and I looked at everybody I knew, and I said, who is it that I know that I would love to be in a mastermind, that I would love to meet with once a month, and that we would have this time to be together? Who's got, you know, who do I just enjoy being in their company? And that's how I pulled it together. I think the key is, and what kept it has kept it alive, because that group has been going strong for 6 years now. And if you look, there are masterminds that have been growing 10, 15, I think the longest I've heard of one going is 20 years. And a lot of that has to do with the person who either started it or facilitates it, because so many people get busy in their work and their life and their world, and it doesn't, you know, it just isn't always as important as that person that's coordinating it. And I've even found that I recently just started a mastermind group separate from the Victory Circles. I didn't start it. It was product launch formula program, and they had sent out a thing saying, you know, everybody be in the mastermind. You know, we're grouping people into masterminds, and you know, go have at it. Right? Nothing happened. Nothing. You know, and these are people. There was, you know, 12 other people that were on this list with me. And, you know, finally I just threw something out there and said, hey, what if we just all meet on this day, you know, via telephone, because again, we were all over the world. So we did, and it happened, and I facilitated it, and we've been going for about 8 or 9 months, and it's only because I keep making it happen. Otherwise it wouldn't happen at all. It would have gone away. So it's that dedication from the person who is facilitating it. You know, you go back to that very first one, and Andrew Carnegie was the one who really was the facilitator, if you will, of that, and made sure that mastermind group stayed together. And it brought in new members and that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, so you need that passionate person who's willing to stay committed time
right,
after time after time.
Time into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. And, you know, from a logistical standpoint, a couple questions come up, like, what would be an optimum size? And I know that, you know, for some people, there might be a tendency to pull together people who were in a similar industry, or, you know, like, we're all coaches, or, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, that would have to, of course, be where people did not have a competitive but a collaborative mindset.
Right.
Right. But do you have any feedback or advice about what size and what kind of makeup of industries you would want to have in the group?
Definitely. And I can tell you, I've tried all sizes. I had grown our circle to all the way up to 18 people. And when we got to 18, I looked around the circle one day and I said, are you insane? And I, as a facilitator, was so stressed out because I had to keep the ball moving, you know, and everybody, it was way too big. And depending on how often you meet, the depth of what you go into, I really do say, I mean, you know, Napoleon Hill said it can be two or more individuals. What I've found with entrepreneurs is because not everybody can make it to every meeting, usually if you get a group of eight, it's pretty ideal, 8 to 12, because you're going to get, you know, several that can't make it to every meeting. And then again, depending on whether it's a quarterly or monthly meeting that, you know, we do our mastermind intensive, I really found that more than six people is too much because we're so in depth. You know, we go from 9 to 5, really getting in depth into each of, you know, other's businesses and everything from the financial piece to the marketing piece. So with that, you can't get too many people because it's too much. And the thing that I would say on this too, as far as, I don't think it matters as much industry-wise. I mean, I know there's masterminds within industries, coaches that do masterminds together. The biggest thing that you can't have in a mastermind, like you were saying, Beth, is that you can't have someone who's a dead-on competitor of yours, because you will hold back. You will not fully be able to let it all hang out, if you will. And I know that I've had in our group, I've actually had other coaches but we weren't in competition at all. And I don't know. And I feel in the world of coaching, I don't feel heavy competitive because I think we all bring our own light to the table.
Well, I find that, you know, sometimes we tend to, if we're not in that competitive mode, or, you know, because like for coaches, you know, even if you're almost coaching the same type of person, you know, say you're your target market is the same, you bring, it's such a personal process and you bring such a unique voice that doesn't mean that those people are necessarily competitors, because people are going to be attracted to you for different reasons. That said, you know, we can often then surround ourselves with people that are in the same position as us or looking for the same things, and that doesn't open us up to other people who've had, you know, maybe on the surface completely different experiences, but yet have learned lessons and gained wisdom that are transferable across industries or across businesses, that would be so valuable for us to have their insights.
Absolutely.
So you touched on, and I want to spend just a couple of minutes on what could go wrong. you mentioned one thing that was, you know, coming to a meeting without, you know, I think of without an intention or without a focus and shooting from the hip. So that's one thing. What are a couple other things that could go wrong, and how can we avoid that?
I think one of the things that I have found to be the biggest game stopper is if the like-mindedness is not really gelling, and you'll feel it in a room if you know, Napoleon talked about it in the fact that it only takes one person to totally disrupt the flow of a mastermind. And luckily, over the years, I have found that usually that one person kind of weeds themselves out. People just, you know, they feel that it's not a fit either. But sometimes, unfortunately, that isn't always the case. And one of the things that we've done in the Victory Circles, because about a year and a half ago, I was seeing this as a problem, that there were people that were coming in that weren't quite as serious about their businesses as some of the other members. You know, they didn't have, whether it be they didn't have a business plan, or they weren't even really sure if this, we had one member at one point in time, is that every time that member would come to the meeting and missed a lot in between, that it was a new business. It was a totally different business. It would be like, really? Did you get any customers in the last business? You know? And members started getting resentful of their time that was being taken, wasted, really. Because we gave you all these ideas, you didn't implement anything, and now you're coming asking for new ideas. So we have actually formed a coaching program that members have to go through before they come into our mastermind at this point, because that way they have a business plan behind them. They're very clear, and they're moving forward in their business, because we want people who are strongly dedicated to growing their businesses. So I you know, it's the different levels of importance. And, you know, it doesn't have to be dollar. I want to be really clear about that. I mean, I could be interested in making my business a $1 million business, and the person across the table, really, if theirs is a 100K business, they're completely happy. It's not that dollar volume. It's the same intensity, desire, drive, that they love what they're doing, and they're passionate and they're purposeful about it. And so that's, you know, and over the years, there's been discussion about, well, if someone's in a network marketing company, should they be in a mastermind? Because they're really not, you know, some people have said they're really not an entrepreneur. And I think that is as individual as every single person is, because I've known people in direct marketing companies who really are just looking for leads. They're in the meetings looking for leads, and it doesn't work out. But I've had one individual in our mastermind who's been there since day one, who works for a network marketing company, and she's phenomenal. I mean, she's got a lot to share. She's amazing at how she's been growing her business, et cetera, et cetera. And so, again, it isn't necessarily going back to, well, it has to be this kind of bricks and mortar business, or, you know, it's just that individual, their drive, their passion, et cetera.
That's a great point to stay open-minded about. Absolutely. Yeah, what kind of business is going to be most a good fit.
And again, going back to what doesn't work is that somebody's sitting there giving a bunch of advice on what other members should do, and they're not doing it in their own business. And it's pretty transparent if they're not. And those are the ones that start to grate on your nerve after a while. Like, really? You're telling me to do that, but you don't do it.
Yeah. Not walking the talk.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the, it sounds like this is such a powerful process for your business. I imagine that there are some ripple effects that happen, that if you're part of a business mastermind process, the rest of your life is going to be affected. So what have you seen as those ripple effects?
I think it's really about making stronger relationships. I mean, one is if you apply these mastermind principles, you know, looking through each and every one of them, it's amazing how it works in business as well as in your personal life. But it's really about strong relationships and really listening. I think listening is a huge key in a mastermind, and really stopping to listen better. Sometimes with those that we love near and dear to our heart, we tend to stop doing that. And so it can really shift that a bit. So I think that's the biggest effect that I've seen.
Yeah. It sounds like it would just be very, it would just give you a lot more tools and some different perspective where you might catch yourself and say, hey, wait a minute, I'm not listening here. I'm not coming from a place of confidence, or I'm not being myself in this situation. It just seems like it would raise our awareness quite a bit.
Absolutely. And, you know, and even when we go like through the mastermind principle of cooperation, of looking at that whole like team and who is it, you know, we do this exercise where you draw yourself in the center and those, the prongs of people that come out from you. And if you look at that in your family as well, you know, it's the same concept.
Yeah. Lots of parallels. Well, I have so enjoyed listening to the passion that you have for this process, and it's so clear that that moment that you had when you pulled over to the side of the road was truly an epiphany, and was really pointing you in the direction that where, you know, your strengths meet the world's needs, because it sounds like you're providing something that's so fabulous for entrepreneurs.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it means a lot to me. It definitely does.
Thank you so much for sharing your expertise and your passion with us. And I'm guessing there's more than one person listening who's now inspired to seek out, you know, learn more and find opportunities to gather with like-minded people for their benefit of their business. So I like to wrap up my podcast conversations with the same question that I ask everyone, because it gives us such wonderful insights to people. And that is, if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island, I hope it exists somewhere. It would be really nice. And I know that you have described yourself as kind of falling right down the middle, right? As kind of that ambivert. So let's say you're getting a chance to tap into your introvert side, and you could only take 3 books with you. Which 3 would you take with you, and why?
Wow. Well, I'd hope I would have some time to make the choice. You know, it's funny, because I was just looking at my office here. I have so many books in my office. I was just thinking of adding another shelf, or I was like, really? Or should you just go through your books? But I think that I would have to say, one is The Laws of Success by Napoleon Hill, because it is, I think, one of his greatest writings. Think and Grow Rich was good. It was not good. It was great. But The Laws of Success really delved deeper into what he brought up in Think and Grow Rich. The second would be The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, a must read for any entrepreneur, and I always try to refresh at least once a year. So maybe that would be during my time at Introvert Island, because it just really brings home so many things, again, about not doing it all yourself, about having systems in your business. It's pretty critical. And then the third one, and I guess I could say this, but would be my book, because it's like a good friend to me, which is coming out in January. And I've been, over the course of the last couple of years, it's, you know, been next to me constantly. You know, anybody who's written a book, you know that it's just, you know, how many times you read that book is amazing. But just between editing and creating, et cetera. But that the title of that book is Victory One Moment in Time, Unlocking the Power of the Mastermind.
That's exciting. So published in January.
In January, it's coming out. Yeah.
Excellent. And is it available already for pre-sale or anything, or can people just?
They I think you can get, there's a hard copy version on Amazon right now, and I actually think there may be the Kindle version may be up there as well right now for a little bit of pre-launch stuff. So, but full launch will be happening in January.
How exciting. Congratulations. That's a huge accomplishment, and it's going to bring this information to an even broader audience, and that's really exciting.
Absolutely, and that's my goal, is to, again, make it more of a modern-day version and really kind of apply to some of real-life experiences.
And over the years, you've probably seen a lot, experienced a lot that's going to be valuable, and especially during this, I mean, we always talk about, oh, this, you know, time of uncertainty, but when you think about it, times have always been uncertain.
The crystal ball really hasn't been too well invented yet.
No. So I think, yeah, bringing it up to the present day is going to be something that's very valuable to people. So people can watch for your book coming out, and how else can they learn about you and Victory Circles and what you have to offer?
They can go to, we have two sites. One is our victorycircles.com website, and then also our parent company is Business Victories, and you can go to businessvictories.com. I would be more than happy. I send out a publication every Monday. I've been doing it for 10-plus years now, called the Victory Letter. It's just an inspirational letter that I send out, and on the Business Victory site, you can subscribe to that if you would like, and that's how you can find me.
And do you have a Facebook presence?
I do. We have a victorycircles.com, .com. Facebook.com/victorycircles.
That's another great way for people to engage.
Yes, absolutely. And we are throwing great content up there all the time.
Awesome. That's a good way to keep up with everything that's going on, because I know that you're very busy and it's got a lot of balls in the air. So, well, thank you, Sherry. I've so appreciated this conversation and your expertise and hearing your enthusiasm. We're recording this on a Monday morning. People might be listening at different times, but I know that it's helping. Just the thoughts that you've shared are helping me think about my week and my month and the upcoming year, even 2012,
right,
and thinking about how can I make that the best I can. So, and how can I involve others in that? So thank you so much.
My absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening today. I hope you are as inspired by Sherry's information as I am. You can learn more by visiting her websites. She has two. You can go to www.victorycircles.com and also go to www.businessvictories.com. So that's victorycircles.com and businessvictories.com. And just a reminder, as I've mentioned on previous podcasts, that if you are interested in making 2012 your best year ever, consider what thousands of successful entrepreneurs and leaders have done and partner with a coach. It's an investment in yourself and your business that brings many rewards, and I can speak from personal experience with my own coach as well as my experience in coaching clients. So you can learn more about my coaching services as well as the January-February group coaching experience on my website, and that is www.theintrovertentrepreneur.com. If you enjoy these podcasts, I invite you to share them with friends, family, and colleagues, and leave a review on iTunes. You can also find out more about how to hire me for coaching, trainings, and speaking engagements at theintrovertentrepreneur.com. And be sure to join into Facebook with us for more community and conversation. And you can find us at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thank you so much for spending your time with us, and I look forward to seeing you next time.